Blog Talk Radio.
Our 90th weekly broadcast of the EAL radio show. And of course, EAL stands for Eastern Airlines. All of your hosts welcome you to tonight's show. Let me introduce your host for tonight's show. Neil and Margaret, how are things way up there in Punta Vedra, Florida?
Well, Jim, here on Florida's First Coast, we're experiencing some cooler weather tonight. Current temperature is about 59 degrees. So we definitely will be having a clear night, and we should be able to see some of those beautiful stars out over the ocean. Also, too, I just want to take a moment to mention that here in the greater Jacksonville area, we have over 20 golf courses. So come on down, come on up, or come on over. We have a lot to offer here in the Jacksonville area.
I don't have much to add to what Margaret said, except it's beautiful northeast coast of Florida, the best part of Florida.
Going on down the coast of Delray Beach, Florida, we have Jan Buskaye. Jan, got anything that maybe the Chamber of Commerce would want you to say on their behalf about Delray?
Sure do, Jim. The Greater Delray Chamber of Commerce is presenting an affair called Wine and Seafood Festival. It is this coming Saturday and Sunday. Admission is free, and it is the first annual Delray Beach Seafood Festival. So come and join us. Stroll the beautiful Atlantic Avenue. It's on East Atlantic Avenue, just over the Intercoastal Bridge waterway. There's great seafood dishes on sale from participating food vendors, including the local Delray favorites, Boston's, Cafe Luna Rosa, and 50 Ocean. We are confident that everybody will enjoy and savor each and every bite of the over 60 seafood menu items. There'll be great live music on two different stages, and 150 artists and craft exhibitors lining the avenue. So come and experience the most fun small town in the USA, Delray Beach. That is November 10th and 11th, beginning at 11 a.m.
Thanks very much, Jan. Tell you what, save a place for me. I'll be down there on the 10th, that's for sure. How about at Chuck Albright, over in the central part of Florida? How is life in the villages treating you?
Just great. We're at 72 degrees tonight and no rain in sight. We just added our 51st and 52nd golf course, and they have built a new country club and restaurant. Anyone come down my way, you give me a call for lunch and we'll go out and have a good time.
Sounds like a good idea, Chuck. I'll look forward to it, and I'll let you know before I come. Thanks for that report. Now, let's go on up to Roaring Gap, North Carolina, and Captain Steve Thompson. Steve, what's happening in the Blue Ridge Mountains besides maybe some moonshining?
Well, we're cranking up our moonshine production because we need it to keep warm for the winter, and it is only 10 degrees cooler here than it is in Jacksonville, but it is cool enough that it's sending the snowbirds south. But here we are in beautiful Roaring Gap, North Carolina, but the leaves are all gone. Sorry we missed the color. Jim.
I was very fortunate to get that color on the way south from Martha's Vineyard, Steve. We put 2,400 miles on the car and went way out west, out to Kentucky and out through Cincinnati and then down through, wow, Tennessee. Thanks very much, Steve. Now, hey, let's move out west to the Centennial State where we find Bill Joseph in the snowbanks out there in Grand Junction, Colorado. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Jim, and hello to our listeners. No, Jim, not snowing yet. Just be patient. It'll be here soon enough. It's real nice to be with you all tonight. And last but not least is our newest member, Millie Peary. How are you this evening, Millie?
Hola, damas y caballeros, and to all the hosts. I'm so happy to be with you tonight. I'm here in Coral Gables and not too far for where, once again, the New Eastern will be headquartered. I am so excited about our show tonight, as I'm sure you will be too. Now, let me say hello to all our Spanish listeners. Buenas noches y bienvenidos a todos los oyentes. Es un placer estar con ustedes una vez más. Estoy transmitiendo desde la majestuosa ciudad de Coral Gables, Florida, donde no muy lejos y una vez más estará ubicada la nueva Eastern Airlines. Esperamos que este próximo cómico episodio sea de su agrado. Disfruten del programa. Salud y un besote grande. Back to you, Jim.
Oh, thank you very much, Millie. Yes, I'm here in West Palm Beach, where Trudy and I recently left the beautiful island of Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts, where we have our summer home. This is Jim Hart, and we're glad you tuned in for tonight's broadcast. This week's show, your host will bring you another tale from the Eastern Files. It is purely fiction, but it is so very possible, as you will see when you listen to what we have titled A Change of Crew in Midair. If you would like to chat with us after the presentation, please call us at 213-816-1611 or toll free at 877-572-1861. Let me repeat those numbers, 213-816-1611, and the toll free is 877-572-1861. Now let's take a station break and listen to an Eastern commercial.
It's Sunday in Mexico. The sun floods an arena. The historic duel is on. The sun spotlights a diver at Acapulco. Referees a children's game at the pyramids of Teotihuacan. The sun warms a beautiful mermaid in Puerto Rico and covers the vacation paradise of Miami. Every year, more people choose this one to the sun because Eastern service is as warm as the destination.
Tonight, we bring you a story written by Captain Neil Holland, our show's producer, and that show is entitled A Change of Flight Crew in Mid-Air. Believe this.
The flight was nearing the halfway point, which was once called the point of no return, when fuel was a major factor in planning long-range destinations. The movie High and Mighty will give you an idea of how critical fuel was when engine failure had to stop, slap some sense into his young captain's head, played by Robert Stack. Our story is not exactly along the storyline of The High and the Mighty, but the drama is as suspenseful. Up to this point, Flight 411, a Boeing 767, was as picture-perfect as the crew and passengers could want. Captain Burt Goodfellow and First Officer Ben Kindly were chatting about their previous night's layover in Old San Juan. Both had enjoyed a scrumptious seafood medley of shrimp, crab, lobster, and clams. It was an all-you-can-eat buffet. And the two men had taken more than their share of food. Let's listen in on their cockpit banter.
I'm not feeling at all well. Must be one of those clams or oysters I ate. As a matter of fact, I have a dizzy, vertigo-like feeling. It's my leg, but I wonder if you can finish the flight.
Sure, Ben. Recline your seat and rest until we get on the ground. I'll wake you up before we land. I'll call Luann and have her bring up a cold towel. You're really sweating there, my friend. Hey, Luann. This is Bert. I've got Ben up here, and it doesn't seem like he's feeling too well. I wonder if you can get him a cold towel. He's sleeping now, but bring one up anyway. I'm beginning to feel a little dizzy myself, and maybe I can use one also.
Now, don't you fret, Captain Bert. I'll be right up. You just hang in there.
Luann prepares two very cold towels for the pilots and rings the cockpit crew call, but gets no answer. Using her cockpit door key, she enters the flight deck only to find both pilots seemingly sound asleep.
Captain, wake up. Ben, wake up. Come on, you guys, now you got to wake up. Captain Burt, please wake up. What happened to you fellers? Now don't you be a-playing jokes with me now. Come on now, wake up.
After several vigorous shakes, Luann realizes this is more than not getting enough sleep for these two. They are now fully slumped in their seats. This is much more serious than anything she has experienced in her career thus far. And she has confronted many difficult situations. But no one is flying the plane. Never in a lifetime did she anticipate what she would do if this happened. Luann quickly picks up the airplane interphone and calls Jan, who is serving with her in the first class section.
Yes, Captain.
Jan, it's me, Luann. We got a real doozy of a problem here on our hands. Come up here as quick as you can. Just knock on the cockpit door and I'll let you in.
What's going on, Luann? Hey. It looks like the pilots are catching a few winks. Should they be sleeping on the job?
Jan, that's the problem. They ain't sleeping. They both seem to be unconscious. See if you can wake them. I've been trying for several minutes now, and I haven't had any luck. Captain called me before I came up here. He was asking for cold towels for Ben and said he wasn't feeling well. He even asked for one himself.
Oh, God, what are we going to do? Maybe there's a deadheading crew member in the back. I'll go see if I can locate someone with the company that might be a pilot.
Just be careful about how you go about it, Jan. We don't want to alarm the passengers about this. at least not yet. Sadly, they'll find out soon enough.
Jan goes back to the cabin and, with as much calm as she can muster, picks up the PA and makes an announcement.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Is there an employee of Eastern on board? If so, please identify yourself. Thank you.
Jan spots two hands raised in the aft cabin and hurries over to their seats. Fortunately, they are sitting across from each other in aisle seats.
Gentlemen, will you follow me up to the galley, as I have a favor I want to ask of you? Thanks for showing your hands. We've got a very serious problem up in the cockpit, and I sure hope you can help us. Is either of you a pilot?
Sorry, I'm not a pilot. I am, however, a medical student, and I have paramedic training, if that's what you need.
I'm not a pilot either, but an Eastern mechanic. What's going on up front there?
Both of you, follow me to the flight deck.
Oh, thank God. I hope you're both pilots. Here, let me fill you in with what I know, and please tell me what I can do, because I don't know nothing about flying no airplane.
First, don't touch anything at this point. I do know the airplane since we are often called a taxi aircraft from the gates to the maintenance hangar. Here, Howard, help me get both of them out of the seats so we can take their seats. Thank goodness this is a Boeing 767. But a lot of room up here. I've taxied these on many occasions.
Chuck and Howard remove the two unconscious men from their seats and buckle them into the two jump seats on the flight deck.
Sure, Luann. Let me get out of your way.
Chuck, you and the flight attendant are best suited for the pilot seats. I'll see what I can do to bring them around. Jan, go back and bring me your first aid kits. Bring at least two of them. Be as discreet as you can so as not to alarm the passengers. Brief the other flight attendants, but don't get them upset, as they will need to be very cool and calm later. Jan?
Of course. I'll bring some blankets also. Luann, I'll stay in the back until you need me.
Chuck, announcer.
Chuck is now in the captain's seat.
Con Eastern, usted recibe toda una línea aérea. Un capitán de un L-1011 de Eastern tiene en promedio más de 30 años de experiencia. Pero la experiencia de Eastern no termina ahí. Un mecánico de Eastern tiene en promedio más de 10 años de experiencia en el servicio a nuestros aviones. Por eso, cuando él dice que estamos listos para el despegue, de verdad estamos listos. Pero toda una línea aérea es mucho más que capitanes y mecánicos con experiencia. Para ser asistente de vuelo de Eastern, no basta con tener una personalidad agradable. Hay que saber atender bien a los pasajeros. En Eastern, no solo vendemos un asiento, ofrecemos el servicio completo de toda una línea aérea.
Chuck is now in the captain's seat, and Luann has taken the first officer's seat. Chuck reviews the overhead panels, the forward pilot's instrument panels, and the status of the autopilots. He next puts the captain's headset on and immediately hears the controller's voice saying, Eastern Flight 411, are you still on frequency? Eastern 411, do you hear San Juan Center?
San Juan Center, this is Eastern Flight 411. Yes, we can read you. We got a bit of a problem up here. And let's see, it looks like 37,000 feet.
Eastern 411, what's the nature of your problem?
Our two pilots are incapacitated, and not able to fly the aircraft. I'm an Eastern mechanic and have limited experience on the Boeing 767. My co-pilot is Senior Flight Attendant Luann. My name is Chuck. We have other company employees and that was a paramedic and was trying to revive the two pilots. Right now, we have to fly the airplane. Can you contact Miami Flight Operations and Dispatch for us? We need an experienced instructor on this type of aircraft. The aircraft autopilot is on, and I have not said any new commands until I speak to a Boeing 767 pilot on the ground.
Roger, Chuck, Eastern 411, I'm sorry. Yeah, we'll try to contact your operations and see if we can bring them online. Just a minute, please. Okay, I've got you patched now. Yes, go ahead.
Hello?
Captain, this is Miami Dispatch. Please get to the airport as soon as you can. How long will it take you, sir?
I guess this must be a code red. I can be there in 15 minutes. Tell me as much as you can.
After Captain Harrigan hears the nature of the problem, he immediately heads to the training center and the Boeing 767 flight simulator. The two men are soon patched in on the company frequency.
Chuck, this is Captain Harrington, but most call me Hop. I prefer that.
Okay, Hop. I see altimeter. It looks like we're at 37,000 feet. Heading indicator is set at 280.
Okay, Chuck. I want to find out how much fuel do we have. You'll find that on the fuel quantity indicator. Just in the center of the overhead panel. There's five sections in the panel. Just look at the very middle of the panel.
Okay, I've got it. I see three sets of numbers.
That's right. Now, look below the numbers on the right, and just below, you'll see a totalizer.
That says 39.9.
Okay, we're good on fuel. You've got 39,900 pounds of fuel. We'll plan to bring you into the Miami International Airport. Chuck, I want you to fly the plane and let your first officer talk to the controllers. Do you understand that, please?
Okay. Her name is Luann. I know the radio setup on the aircraft. Captain, I've taxied the 767 from the terminal to the maintenance hangar. I'll do the switching for her.
Hello, Captain Hop. I'm the senior flight attendant, and I'm a little nervous about all this, you know, but I'll sure give it a try.
Okay, Luann, lots of folks are counting on you. I know you'll do just fine. Now, we've got plenty of time to bring the airplane to a successful landing in Miami. San Juan Center, are you hearing me on the radio patch the company has set up for you?
Yes, I hear both your transmissions. You're about to go over into Miami Center's airspace, so contact them on 132.95. We wish you all the success.
Okay, San Juan, we'll go over to Miami Center. Did I do that right, Captain Hawk?
Hey, you did just great, Luann. Go ahead and let Chuck dial in Miami Center.
Okay. Hello, Miami Center. This is Eastern 411.
Got you in contact, Eastern 411. Let me know when you want lower altitude and vectors to the airport. Please squawk 7500 on your transponder.
Roger, sir. Hey, Chuck, what's a transponder?
Hey, Luann, look down on the lower control panel between the two of you where the radio switches are, and you'll see between the left and right radios the transponder. Now, turn the knob to 7500, which is the emergency setting for the center. Okay, Chuck, let you and I go to work. We're going to work it down slowly and get you familiar with the autopilot system. Now, we've got a simulator here in Miami, which is where I am, set up with your heading and altitude, and I will be seeing the same thing that you're seeing. We'll also copy the frequencies as Luann switches over to another controller. We're going to keep the autopilot system on all the way to touchdown. Is that okay with you, Chuck?
I wouldn't want it any other way, Captain.
Captain Harrigan and Chuck go through a familiarization exercise of the various panels, switches, and controls they will be using throughout the controlled emergency. After taking vectors and receiving lower altitudes from Miami Center, Luann seems to be confident of her communications ability and seems to be having, as much as possible under the circumstances, fun in switching the radios and talking to the controllers. Jan comes back up into the crowded cockpit to see how things are progressing and asking if she needed to inform the passengers. Captain Harrigan's team has prepared a cabin announcement deemed appropriate for the situation. Neither alarming nor anxious in content, the announcement is calmly delivered by Flight Attendant Jan and given in Spanish by Flight Attendant Millie.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have encountered an unusual but serious onboard incident. First, is there a doctor on board? If so, will you come to the forward flight attendant cabin boarding area? Our two pilots have become incapacitated to fly the aircraft. However, we are in very able hands with our company personnel in both the cockpit and on the ground.
Damas y caballeros, alto su atención, por favor. Nos hemos encontrado con un incidente a bordo no común, pero serio. Primero, si se encuentra un doctor médico a bordo, por favor proceder al área de delantera de embarcación de su auxiliar de vuelo. Nuestros dos pilotos han sido incapacitados a volar la aeronave. Sin embargo, estén seguros y confiados que estamos en muy buenas manos en la cabina de mando y por el personal de la compañía. Gracias.
Since there were no doctors on board, Howard remains in the cockpit with the two unconscious pilots, trying to administer as best he can the emergency equipment he has available. Flight 411 has been worked down to 10,000 feet by Chuck and Harrigan near flawlessly. Chuck is gaining more and more confidence with each controlled action and seems to be in sync with Captain Harrigan and the Boeing 767.
Hey, Chuck, you've done a great job, and now we'll need to move on to a much quicker pace in setting the approach and auto land system. Now, remember, if the autopilot kicks off, you'll be manually flying the airplane. Now, we want the autopilot engaged throughout the entire procedure. Just simply reach up to the autopilot select levers and lift the one closest to you up, and it will re-engage. Now, I'll give you the command, and you respond to my command before doing any of the actions. Is that okay with you?
I guess it better be, as we don't have much choice, do we?
Oh, you'll do just fine. If you don't understand my command, let me know and we'll go over it again. Now remember, we have plenty of fuel and we can go out over the Everglades and simulate what we're going to be doing on the approach. And is that okay? Now it's your call, Chuck.
Okay, I'm ready. Let's get this flat on the ground. We got people waiting.
Attaboy, Chuck. We've been cleared for our approach to runway 9 left, which is a Category 3 runway. Now, remember, the autoland system will be set up to land and stop the aircraft upon touchdown. It'll even sail in the center line of the runway without any pilot input, and it'll come to a complete stop. Or had you rather do that yourself?
Heck no, he better not do that himself. This here, our plane knows what to do. Now, I've seen an automatic landing once in a cockpit when I was on a trip. It does a pretty job all by its lonesome.
Now, Chuck, there are three small levers on the instrument glare shield panel, just to the right of the center of the panel. The left and right autopilots are in the up position now, which means that they're on. We'll later engage the center autopilot on the final approach. I'll tell you when to move it to the up position, and the aircraft will be fully controlled with the autopilots all the way to the ground and even the rollout. I'll have you set the brakes to the number 4 position, which is maximum braking. You know where that is, since you've taxied the aircraft in maintenance. Now, Luann, if you would get your flight attendant assistant to brief the passengers for an emergency landing and go through your manual's checklist.
Aye, Captain Hawk. Howard, would you step back and get Jan up here?
Sure, Luann.
Jan, you got the cabin prep responsibilities for the emergency landing, so make sure you go by the checklist. Let's start it early so we can take care of any unexpected problems from the passengers.
I'll get it started right away, Luann, and let you know when it's completed. Do you guys need anything from the back?
Yeah, double martini for me, and make it quick.
Hey, Chuck, did I hear you say you wanted a double martini? Now, you've got one when we meet over at the Marriott afterwards, not now, as we have much to do. And that invitation includes all you guys. We have emergency equipment waiting for the pilots when you land. We've notified the life flight helicopter to take them to Jackson Memorial Hospital, and we'll have doctors on board the helicopters.
How about the throttles or the thrust levers? Will I have to operate them manually?
If everything is set up correctly, the thrust levers will be in the auto mode, meaning that they are in auto throttle setting and will apply or reduce power as it senses its condition all the way to the ground. And now remember, Chuck, that you'll have to set the speeds, and it will shoot for the selected speed in the same panel as the autopilot's, just over toward your side. Now, I'll be providing you with the speeds you will set. You could just cross your arms and over your chest and watch the show, but I'll want your hands closely on them just in case the autopilot kicks off, and we'll talk about that later. Now, Luann, let's ask for a vector for a long final approach so we can get everything set up. Ask approach for a heading of 270 degrees and an altitude of 2,500 feet. Showtime, now let's go, guys.
Miami approach, we want to fly a heading of 270 degrees and go down to 2,500 feet.
Roger, Eastern 411. Turn left to a heading of 270 degrees and descend to and maintain 2,500 feet, or any altitude that you choose.
As Chuck turns the heading bug to 270 degrees and the altitude select down to 2,500 feet, the big Boeing 767 immediately responds to its new assignments. Meanwhile, Harrigan has a few moments to reflect back to his childhood days that brought him to this dramatic day in his career. Harrigan's mind plays back the picture and sounds of his favorite radio show.
Harrigan, America's ace on the airwaves. CX-4 calling control tower. CX-4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Snapping back to the reality of over 200 people depending upon his knowledge and exact commands to his extended person, he prepares Chuck for the next phase of landing this wide-bodied aircraft with the precision the aircraft is capable of performing.
Now, Chuck, the wind is calm and at Miami, and it's just perfect for our landing. And what I want you to do is to roll back slowly a speed of 230 knots in the speed select. And when you see the speed approaching 230, reach over and move the flap lever to the first detent of 1. We're going to take our time, as there's no rush. We own this airspace, and all traffic's been instructed to hold at different locations well away from us until we're safely on the ground. Now, we'll set the speed to VREF plus 60 knots. Now, Chuck, that'll be 210 knots in the speed command. We'll be landing at VREF plus 20 with the flaps 20. Don't worry about these numbers. I'll tell you when to lower the flaps and set the speeds.
I'm moving the speed reference bug now to 210, and I see the throttle's moving back and the speed is slowly to 230. When do we put the landing gear down?
Okay, well, we'll do that in the next segment of the approach, as we want to be configured when we engage the third autopilot. Luann, tell the controllers we are now ready to turn to a heading of 135 degrees, which will be our intercept heading. Now, Chuck, tune the ILS frequency on the nav receiver of 109.7 and confirm that we're receiving the signal. Chuck, here's what we're expecting will happen. Now, here's what will happen as we fly back to the airport. Once we are fully engaged with all three autopilots, they will capture the localizer and automatically turn inbound on the localizer course. Since we're below the glide slope at a distance we are from the airport, it'll capture the glide slope as we near our interception of the slanted beam. It's like a giant sliding board, and we're underneath the slide, but within the rails of the sliding board when we capture the localizer signal. Now, if you'll reach over and pull the small wheel-like lever to the down position, that'll be the landing gear going down, and the sound that you hear will it's being extended. I want you to confirm three green lights just above the handle, and let me know when you see them.
Chuck, I'll move the gear lever down. There, I see them. Captain Hop, I see the three green lights.
Harrigan has instructed actions to be accomplished, and Chuck has repeated by following the instruction to the letter. Now the aircraft is on the intercept heading, and the three autopilots are flying the aircraft for the landing.
Okay, now I'll call out the checklist, and Chuck, you let me know what you see. Now, first is the landing gear.
Down and three green.
Okay, now the auto brake.
Arm and select max.
And the ground spoilers, you know where they are?
Yes, they're armed.
Okay, now the flaps.
20 with the gauge.
Eastern Flight 411 comes to a full stop, landing on Miami International Airport's runway 9 left. Chuck and Luann turn to look at each other with a satisfied expression and simultaneously raise their hands for a well-earned high five. An ambulance and a Life Flight helicopter touches down off the runway in the green grass as two medics hurriedly hop out and run toward the Boeing 767. A boarding mobile people loader pulls up to the aircraft, and with the overhead cockpit speakers turned on, Captain Hop Harrigan calls from the aircraft's external microphone headset connection.
Hey, guys, there are a lot of people all waiting to congratulate you and the crew, but they'll have to be behind me. We're taking off the unconscious pilots first, and the company personnel and media will want to debrief you. Oh, would you be so kind as to place the fuel cutoff levers in the off position? Now, we're going to be moving the airplane with the tug connected to the aircraft now.
Captain, if you'd like, I can taxi the aircraft over to the maintenance hangar. You know, that is my job with Eastern.
Now, the two of you have done more than your share keeping this aircraft together. We'll do the rest. Remember, we still have a martini or two waiting to share.
The two pilots have been placed on stretchers and removed to the Life Flight helicopter. The president of Eastern Airlines is behind Captain Harrigan as they enter the cockpit. A large round of applause greets the two men, and especially Captain Harrigan, who made it all happen. Luann is the first to leap toward the captain with kisses of gratitude.
Well, Captain Harrigan, we finally meet. I feel like we've known each other for a lifetime now. And I'm sure hoping you're single, because I'd like to quote the infamous words of that big picture star, Mae West, when she said, "Why don't you come up and see me sometime, big boy?"
Hello, Captain Harrigan. Thank you for making this possible. Just standing here waiting for my legs to stop shaking. What you did was absolutely brilliant, and thanks again.
Captain, in the language of many of our Spanish-speaking passengers and myself, de parte de nuestros pasajeros, sus familias y mías, les damos las gracias por haber salvado nuestras vidas hoy. Usted es nuestro héroe. Thank you from all our passengers, their families, and mine for saving our lives today. You are our hero.
I'm sorry, Mr. Weigel, for taking up so much time. Folks, Mr. Ted Weigel, President of Eastern Airlines, has a few words to say to our crew, and then we'll be boarding you all on mobile vehicles to the terminal building.
After the many congratulations are expressed, the passengers are boarded in the mobile units and head for the terminal, where the media anxiously awaits their arrival. The crew has a special limo waiting to take them to a press conference already arranged and anxiously awaiting in the terminal.
We'll take a commercial break for Eastern Airlines.
The historic duel is on. The sun spotlights a diver at Acapulco. Referee the children's game at the pyramids of Teotihuacan. The sun warms a beautiful mermaid in Puerto Rico. And covers the vacation paradise of Miami. Every year, more people choose this one to the sun because Eastern service is as warm as the destination.
Fly Eastern, and the world is a
Hey guys, thank you all for meeting me here at the Marriott Lounge. You guys are celebrities now. Have you seen all the eyes looking at you?
Millie.
At the media press conference. And as well, Luann, you've been surrounded with the press and media. So, Howard, what do you think happened to our pilots?
It looked like they might have got severe case of food poisoning.
Let me get out of your way.
Immediate reaction like they had, I suspect, would come from some type of shellfish, like oysters, clams, lobsters, this type of food. There are just the types of shellfish poisoning. Below are the most well-known types and their symptoms. Paralytics, shellfish poisoning. About 30 minutes after eating contaminated seafood, you may have numbness or tingling in your mouth. The sensation may spread down to your arms and legs. You may become very dizzy and have a headache, and in some cases your arms and legs may become temporarily paralyzed. Some people may also have nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea, although these symptoms are much less common. Neurotoxic shellfish poisoning, the symptoms are very similar to cigarette poisoning, after eating contaminated clams or mussels. You'll most likely experience nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea. These symptoms will be followed shortly by strange sensations that may include numbness or tingling in your mouth, headache, dizziness, and hot and cold temperature reversal, amnestic shellfish poisoning is a strange and rare form of poisoning that begins with nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea, which is followed by short-term memory loss, as well as other less frequent neurologic symptoms. I suspect that even though the aircraft is pressurized, they may have experienced a hypoxic state which led to unconsciousness. I'm not a medical expert, but I've seen this condition in my own family. It's definitely a condition that you want to seek immediate medical attention. And speaking of that, Chuck, Luann, Captain Harrigan, I want to say a very special thank you to you for your reactions to what could have become a tragic accident. You performed brilliantly. God bless you all. Chuck.
As cool as Captain Herring had me carrying out the necessary actions for the approach and autoland, he is a real hero here. Believe me, my legs were as rubbery as overcooked noodles, and I'm truly amazed at how the big bird flew down the ILS and glide scope. And like you said, simple as sliding down a sliding board. Luann, did you see how it automatically pulled off the power, did a slight flare touching down, perfectly staying right on the center line of the runway?
Yes, I did, Chuck, and the gentle but positive stopping on the runway as well. I sure wish I had something as smart and fancy as that there automatic pilot in my car.
Well, young lady, would you serve my friends here anything that they would like to drink? And give me the tab, please, when you're finished. We'll probably be having dinner here also, but no seafood, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, this completes our show for tonight, and we hope you enjoyed hearing it as much as we enjoyed putting it on. Tonight, your cast included the announcer and narrator, Bill Joseph, Captain Harrigan was Steve Thompson, Chuck was Chuck Albright, Luann was Margaret Bars, Jan was Jan Boscae, Millie was Millie Peary down there in southern Florida, Howard was Howard Mucci, and the air traffic control was Neil Holland. This show was written and produced by Neil Holland. Do we have any announcements?
Yes, I have an announcement, Jim. If you are in air freight and living in South Florida, be aware that there is a third annual reunion of the EAL Bulldog Air Freight Group. It's next Saturday, November 10, at 4 p.m. Directions to the event are the Turnpike, the Florida Turnpike, to Kendall Drive, and then exit right to Southwest 127th Avenue, then a left at the light on 98th Street. Go behind Home Depot on the golf course side. For more information, call Bob at 386-734-2343. Bob at 386-734-2343.
Well, in just a few more days, and all in the South Florida area will be able to get together, renew friendships, tell some great Eastern Airlines stories, and share, partake of great food and beverage. It all happens Friday, November 9th at the C.B. Smith Park in Broward County. The time is from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. Plan to be there, folks.
Don't forget the REPA, Retired Airline Pilots Association Convention, November the 11th to 14th, at the Westin Hilton Resort and Spa in Hilton Head, South Carolina. If you are in the area, you might want to drop by and visit some old friends in the lobby. You'll have no problem getting a conversation going.
West Palm Beach, Eastern Airlines Retirees Chapter News. We're having, of course, our regular meeting on the third Thursday of the month at our regular meeting place in Lake Worth. If anyone wants to be with us, please give me a call at 561-795-4854. And there's another thing that's happening. Two of our members are going to be going down to the EARA picnic on Friday, November 9. And, Millie, we hope to see you there. Beverly Bennis will be with me. And we're going to be early because we're supposedly part of the staff. Neil?
Okay, folks. Don't forget, we need all the help we can get through your donations to keep us live and on the air. Our renewal date is November 26th for our radio show, and we need your support to renew for another year. We have now completed 2 years and 90 episodes, and with your support, we can add another 50-plus episodes in 2013. Please consider a donation of $10. We certainly would appreciate it.
Neil, did you get my donation?
Sure did, Jim. Thank you so much. Just a moment. Stand by. Had a little technical difficulty there. Yes, I did, Jim. Thank you very much. And that does go a long way in helping us stay on the air for another year. And along with that, folks, we also have, a great website. Those people that want to give information to the Eastern people have a media that they can give us whatever they want to put on our website, and we'll certainly do that. We have almost 750 members now, and it's a good way of keeping up with what goes on with Eastern Airlines folks, whether you're with the Retired Eastern Pilots Association or with the Flight Attendants, Silverliners, or with EARA. We try to keep folks updated weekly, if not daily. And, for instance, this next Monday, I'll be down, or I keep saying down. I want to keep thinking about Miami and the activities they're having there, but I'm going up to Hilton Head, South Carolina, where the Retired Eastern Pilots Association, REPA, is having its annual convention. And there we'll try to do a show Monday night with those people that we stick the microphone up to their face and say, here, say something. Hopefully we'll get a good story out of these people because these are pilots. Most of them are in their 70s, 80s, and up to 90s. And I hope to be able to record some very interesting experiences in their lives, especially remembering back when they were flying with Eastern Airlines and what they're doing right now. So we hope to bring you an interesting show. I hope to get enough interviews that perhaps we can put those on future shows as well. So listen in Monday night, next Monday night, and that'll be at 7 p.m. I hope it will be there in that I'm going to miss having the host and crew of all of those that you heard tonight, especially Margaret and Luann, who are here in Jacksonville. So I'll be up there by myself, and if you guys can't call in now because, like I say, it's going to be pre-recorded, and then we'll repeat the broadcast at 7 p.m. So that's the plans for next week. And, again, we hope that we'll be able to stay with you for the 2013 radio season for the Eastern Airlines radio show. Any other remarks from any of you guys?
Wish I could be with you, Neil.
Hey, you can if you like. My wife's not going, so I've got an extra bed. Anybody want to travel that far, far north and help me out, you're more than welcome. You could stand my snoring. Oh, by the way, that snoring was me.
Yes, we've heard him many times at his desk doing that.
But, yeah, I think it'll be a lot of fun. It's always fun when you get among those people that you have worked with over the years and remember back in the past. It just is so much fun to listen to other stories. And every time I go to one of these conventions, and I'm sure you guys have gone to conventions that you were related to, and it's so much fun to listen to other people's stories. And as you listen, it kind of clicks in your mind a story that you want to share with them. So it's a lot of fun. It really is. And we hope to hope you'll listen in to that broadcast. Any other comments?
As they say, Neil, everyone has a story, and that is so true.
That is so true, Jan. And I know that you would have some very interesting stories, so we need to get a script together about what happened at, what is it, 10 Rock Center?
Correct, Rock Plaza, actually.
Rock Plaza. Yeah, and I'm sure there were a lot of stories there. But you know, hear a lot of stories that we do over the radio. It seems like they're flight-related, either flight attendants or pilots. But there are so many stories in reservation, market and sales. Jim has shared several of his stories with us in our past episode. Maintenance. Chuck, you have shared stories with us about maintenance, and there were so many departments with Eastern Airlines, and we would like to get all of those stories, of course, out on our radio broadcast in the future. So if anyone listening has their own story, and oh, by the way, speaking of stories, we've put together, I think we're up to about 30 or 40 stories now for our book. And it's got a very special title. I won't tell you now, but once we announce when it will be published and offered to our listeners and to the Eastern people, we'll let you know. But there are a lot of great, great stories in that book. So hopefully you'll want to call us and request one of the books.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Jan, do you have something?
No, I was saying that I will look forward to the publication of that book.
We'll certainly keep you informed.
Thank you.
Jim, that's
yes,
about all the time we have. I hear the music in the background. How about parking this flight in the archive hangar?
Okay, Neil, that's about all the time we have left this evening, folks. How about parking this flight in the archive hangar, as Neil has suggested? Tune in this next week to www.ealradioshow.com or www.blogtalkradio.com/Captain Eddie. I should repeat those. I think we have time. www.ealradioshow.com or www.blogtalkradio.com/Captain Eddie. CaptainEddie. We'd like to be in your home every Monday evening, same time, same station, with the EAL Radio Show. Next week, we hope you'll once again fly Eastern Radio as we bring you more Eastern news, history, and talk with former Eastern employees and friends of Eastern. Be sure to tune in and call in at 7 p.m. when flight number 91 departs the gate. Until then, from your host for tonight's show, we all say good night, Eastern family.
Night, Eastern family.
Family.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.